I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another episode of The Memo. This is Monday, September 21st, 2015. Brad Locke here with you, and as always, with me is W. Derek Russell. How are you today, sir?
I'm well, Brad. How are you doing?
I'm much better, thank you.
Good. You were sickly.
I was a little sickly over the weekend. Kind of getting tired of being sickly.
And it wasn't the SEC games that made you sick.
No, I actually had some quite exciting, fun to watch SEC games.
You see what I did there? That's called a segue.
It's a pretty good. That's a radio thing, or podcast thing, what you want to call it.
Segue.
It's not just a thing you ride in the mall.
Mall cops.
We had one game in particular that was really good and exciting and took us well past midnight Saturday into Sunday. And we're going to talk about that today, Derek, because, you know, nothing says we can't talk about sports on this show.
Exactly right.
Yeah. We're going to have a special guest that you all know and love to come in here with us in just a moment and talk about it. Okay, so that big game I mentioned was, of course, Ole Miss going over to Tuscaloosa, taking down Alabama, mighty Alabama, 43-37 the final. Parrish Alford was there, our Ole Miss beat reporter, and he's with us here now to talk about it. Parrish, how are you doing?
Brad, I'm awake and somewhat alert.
Well, that's good to know, Parrish. Well, let's quickly go back through this game. It was one of the wildest games, especially the second half, that I've seen in a while. A couple of times Ole Miss had a 3-touchdown lead, looked like they were going to put it away, and Alabama just kept coming back. Did you ever get the sense that this game was over until they finally got that last kneel down?
You know, I got the sense that it should have been over when they reached a 3-touchdown lead for the second time, but what I saw was an Ole Miss defense that was tired. Starters played a lot more than they had in the first 2 weeks. It was the most humid night that I can remember in a long time, Brad. No breeze, very, very hot and warm weather, you know, all over the South. And I thought that played a factor for Ole Miss late in the game. I thought they became less sure in their tackling. Alabama began to get real yards after contact late in the game. Before then, I thought Ole Miss did a pretty fair job against one of Alabama's strengths, which is the power run game. But late in that game, Alabama was able to just keep, you know, churning with yards after contact. And, you know, then you throw an onside kick in the mix, and it should not have been that close at the end. But the Rebels just couldn't put it away until the final seconds.
It's kind of one of those nights, though, that it just seemed like it was the Rebels' night. Got 5 turnovers, did not commit any themselves. And then there's possibly the play of the year so far, Parrish. Everybody's seen the replay, I'm sure, 100 times. Chad Kelly almost loses a snap, pops up in the air probably a good 10 feet. He snags it, and then just before he's hit, tosses it basically just up for grabs. And somehow Quincy Adebojo comes down with it, and 66 yards later, it's a touchdown. Was it just that kind of night, Paris? Because if you're going to beat Alabama at Alabama, you're going to have to get some breaks.
Yeah, you're going to have to get some breaks. You're going to have some good fortune. I think, Brad, that there's going to be, when you look back on this game, people are going to think it's overwhelming good fortune for Ole Miss, that there was just a lot of everything went their way. That's not really how I saw it. The Rebels made some of their good fortune. That pass to Adebojo that he caught off the tip of Laquon Treadwell, that's good fortune, okay? But that's also awareness on his part, you know, to follow that ball and make the catch. That's the first ill-advised pass I've seen Chad Kelly throw in 3 games. You know, he just flung it up there, you know, and it just that was surprising to me. I had not seen him do that at all this season. I don't think you're going to see him do that again. And I think he got away with one there. But, there were other touchdowns in the game. The 73 yards late in the game, Kelly to Cody Core, that was originally ruled that Kelly threw the ball beyond the line of scrimmage. That was a good play call. You know, they had everything bunched up in the middle, and when Kelly rolled over there to the right side, you know, there was a lot of green. You know, yeah. Core was in one-on-one, and, you know, Kelly got him the ball, and he broke a tackle and got to the end zone. I mean, you know, that's not luck. That's a good play call, and that's execution. You know, the fade pass, 24 yards to Laquon Treadwell, single coverage, where he goes and makes a physical catch over the Alabama defender. You know, that's not luck. That's execution. Five turnovers, one or two turnovers might be luck. But if you turn the ball over five times, somebody did something to you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that defense is really kind of something with all the points and yards Ole Miss has put up. People have maybe overlooked that defense a bit. I think if Ole Miss can go far this year, it's going to be because of that defense. Robert Kimdichie, Denzel Kimdichie, Mike Hilton, those kind of players. I know they ended up giving up 37 points. Again, they got a little bit tired, and that was against Alabama. But do you think they kind of showed people last night they're a big reason this team has a shot to do something special?
You know, we've heard all offseason, Brad, from Ole Miss players, they think this defense can be better than last year's when they led the nation in scoring defense. You know, I think they're going to have to grow to that point. I don't think they're at that point right now. I don't think they're better than last year right now. Now, the first two games, we just didn't see enough of these guys because the starters played so few snaps. You know, they wanted to play a lot of different people, and they did. They played a lot of way down the depth chart guys. And, you know, I think that's part of why the starters got a little winded at the end of the game last night. You knew they were going to play more plays. But we've got to see, you know, what this defense can do for 60 minutes when it gets into game shape. I've been of the opinion that if this defense is better, it's going to be different than last year's defense. You know, teams moved the ball on Ole Miss last year, but the Rebels, you know, stopped drives with turnovers and got a lot of interceptions, and that's kind of what they're doing right now. I mean, right now, you know, when they're playing well, they kind of look the same. They've stopped some drives with turnovers.
Yeah.
Other teams have moved the ball a little bit. They've given up some yards. And, you know, it wasn't really surprising to see Alabama excel in the fourth quarter when Ole Miss was getting a little winded there on defense. You know, this whole game, I think, would have taken on a different look and a different feel and would have been less frantic at the end, you know, had Alabama not gotten a good bounce, a lucky bounce on the onside kick, you know.
Right.
But when it bounced high and rolled, you know, and that's, you know, that's an advantage to the kicking team.
Parrish, you look at last year, Ole Miss obviously got ranked very high, I think at one point number two in the country. Now they're number three with the latest AP rankings that came out on Sunday, tied for third with TCU. Again, that was early in the season. This is kind of early in the season, but do you see a similar trajectory? But you think with the schedule left that Ole Miss has a chance to – I mean, it's a really good chance to do better than last year and have a stronger finish.
Well, here's what I see, and I thought this was significant from last night's game. Hugh Freeze told us at the beginning of August that he had a plan, that he wanted to do things during camp, during the month of August, to help the team bond, create a stronger chemistry, and be able to handle adversity differently at the end of the season, better than they handled it last year. Yes, they had some injuries and whatnot, but there were other, you know, other problems last year. He wanted to see them handle adversity differently. I think they handled adversity by going to Alabama and winning with an inexperienced and makeshift offensive line. You know, they didn't sustain a lot of drives against Alabama because they had big plays. Maybe they would have sustained drives a little better. But that line now, without Laramie Tunsil, you know, with a true freshman at left guard, a redshirt freshman at right tackle, you know, they only gave up two sacks. You know, I thought that was a testament to what they were doing, and also to Chad Kelly, to his poise and awareness. You know, he's with those attributes, he's able to help the offensive line help him. You know, so I thought it was big that Ole Miss went in there and averaged almost 7 yards a play.
Yeah, that offense was impressive. Chad Kelly continues to look impressive. You know, there was that one questionable decision that turned out well, but even then he had a reason for it. He said, "Hey, Laquan Treadwell's the tallest guy over there. I'll just give him a shot at it," but ended up his teammate, Quincy Adebojo. Thank you.
Yep.
Got the catch. And, you know, all through preseason camp, it was such a tight quarterback race between Kelly and Ryan Buchanan. You had Devontae Kincaid in there as well. Looks like Kelly's just taking this thing by the reins. I mean, do you see him giving up this job unless he just performs abysmally at some point?
I don't see him taking a step backward, and I don't see him giving up the job. And I'm watching him now, and I'm wondering why this quarterback race was so tight. Now,
yeah.
You know, camp was closed down. You know, we saw very little of practice during the month of August, and we see very little of it now. So, you know, for us to know what's going on, you're just not going to know. And camp coverage, as I tell people, in 2015 is less about the sense of sight and more about the sense of hearing.
Yeah.
You know, you go to these after practice interview sessions, and the coaches will come out and tell you what happened at practice, what they think happened. You know, look, we don't know what went on in that quarterback competition. My feeling is that Hugh Freeze, rightfully so, wanted to give every opportunity to his guys already on campus to win the job. Okay, and I think he did that, and they did not, and Chad Kelly did. I think he could have been named the starter, the number one starter earlier. I don't know that that would have changed anything. He probably, you know, your number ones weren't going to play much in those first two games anyway, the way they unfolded. And I think it's pretty clear now who the starting quarterback is.
All right, Parrish Alford, y'all can follow him on Twitter at Parrish Alford. And also each Thursday, you can catch him and Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, on a live Google Hangout previewing the upcoming games. And I believe we're going to turn that into a podcast soon. Parrish and
Make
Logan.
It happen, Brad. Make it happen.
Hey, I do what I can. Parrish, appreciate your time, man.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Okay, so we talked about Ole Miss. Let us not forget, though, about Mississippi State. Had a little easier time of it on Saturday, dispatching of Northwestern State. That's a school out of Natchitoches, Louisiana. So the Bulldogs are bouncing back from that loss to LSU, but they get back into conference play this weekend at Auburn. And joining us to discuss this a little bit is John L. Pitts, sports editor of the Daily Journal. John, welcome in.
Thank you, fellas. Nice to get to attend this meeting of the AV Club.
Thank you for gracing us with your presence. Well, first, before we talk about State real quick, I just want to talk about the craziness of that old Miss Alabama game that went 4+ hours, which on our end makes for a really, really late night. I know we pushed deadline way back to get the paper out, and you were up here late. Parrish drove back from Tuscaloosa after the game. I would have gotten a hotel, but that's just me. But Parrish did a good job there. Y'all did a good job in getting the stuff out. And these late kickoffs are getting kind of old already, aren't they?
Yeah, and we're probably in for some more of them. I mean, the guys on the press crew left here, or the supervisory people, after the press ran and the paper goes out the door, they don't leave till 4 a.m. on a night like that. So that's tough. And with Ole Miss as the tied for number three team in the country, would not surprise me if we get some more of those late dates as we go along. They will be a hot item as we roll, particularly into November.
Yeah,
if they are still undefeated, which is possible.
Most certainly. So anyway, Mississippi State, they were kind enough to play in the daytime and took care of Northwestern State. So what do we make of the Bulldogs, John? I mean, they played LSU really close. I think they showed well there after kind of having a lackluster performance the week prior to that. So what do we make of State right now?
I don't know what to make of them. I still don't. I mean, they won at Southern Miss. Southern Miss might be a six-win team. I mean, they didn't let Fournette run all over the place, but except for a late flurry, that was not a close game. Northwestern State, I'd much rather have seen Mississippi State play Northwestern, okay?
Yeah.
And then we'd know something.
Yeah.
You're going to know a lot more in the next couple of weeks because you've got back-to-back road games at Auburn. And, yes, Auburn is terrible, but there's no worse mistake to make than to look at what happened Saturday and think that you translate it into something about next week.
Right.
So I'm not sure State has anybody that can run with the force that Leonard Fournette does, although they have weapons, and Auburn is clearly discombobulated on the defensive side, and they ain't got a quarterback. Apparently, $85,000 does not buy you the kind of quarterback talent that it used to. That was
the
Twitter line of mine from yesterday.
The yen has changed. So.
It's fluctuations in the currency market. So Auburn's a cornered, wounded animal. And again, as Robbie Robertson, our old colleague, used to say, tough to win on the road in the SEC. And it is, because it is. And your reward then for going over there, if you can win, and you probably sneak into the top 25 again if you do that, then you got to go to Texas A&M the next week.
Yep.
And Texas A&M is a little bit of a mystery, but they sure do look like they are better, especially on the defensive side. And that's kind of been the thing. wow, they got all these weapons, but wow, their defense is just awful, and it's gotten better, and they'll be at home. And so that's a really interesting question about where they are. I think that's there's one thing in October that jumps out at me, though. Now, you got Kentucky in Starkville, and that's fine. Louisiana Tech is the homecoming team, and last night they gave somebody a real pitched battle, and I right this second I do not remember who it was, but this is not like inviting Austin Peay to dinner, okay? This is a dangerous kind of thing that's a team that's capable of flinging it around.
Kansas State, which is a pretty good team, they lost by 6 to Kansas State.
And that old guy, you know, he was in the Lord of the Rings books. I don't know if you remember. I think he was like a wizard or something. I mean, he's old as dirt, the coach there, Snyder, but yeah. he's a sharp one. And Louisiana Tech gave him all they wanted. Was that 2 or 3 overtimes, maybe?
Gosh, now you got me on that one. All now, I got to score. But, yeah, they gave him, I mean, if you go to Kansas State and only lose by 6 –
so that's a dangerous one right there. And then you get in state gets into November at Missouri. Who knows? I mean, who knows?
They beat UConn 9-6 Saturday.
Yeah, but
so
they seem to have a different gear for SEC games. I mean, they lost to Indiana last year and then won the SEC East.
Yeah.
Then you got Alabama in Starkville, and then you got to go to Arkansas. And who knows by November 21st what Arkansas is? And then you got the Ole Miss Rebels for the Golden Egg game. So,
okay. Oh, I think that La Tech game went to 3 overtimes.
Wow.
Chris Kiefer is telling me. So, yeah, they had a chance to pull off the upset there. So, anyway, Mississippi State, the immediate concern for Mississippi State is Auburn. Again, State loses by 2 to LSU. The next week, LSU destroys Auburn in Baton Rouge. But again, like you said, I don't know how much you can extrapolate from that because the SEC week to week is just crazy. And on the road at Auburn, that's not the easiest place to play.
It's a matchups thing, too. I mean, LSU is still lining up heavy and they want to run. And that's why I wouldn't rule out Alabama, say, beating LSU when
right.
it comes around, because that's what Alabama really wants you to line up heavy and run at them. They were delighted to play Wisconsin, a brand-name team, but they're going to line up heavy, try to run at you, and they were ineffective throwing the ball. And so we shall see. You got to see what happens too with Alabama, just where their head is going to be after this thing the other night. I think they showed a lot in just continuing to battle Ole Miss literally down to the last horn.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got some issues and persistent issues in those defensive breakdowns that Dr. Manziel initially diagnosed during his tenure at Texas A&M, and it's still a thing. They just get caught in the wrong spot sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Alabama has been known to bounce back from an early season loss, say,
mm-hmm.
last year when they lost to Ole Miss and still made the playoffs. So
right.
Don't count them out yet.
Right. And don't – look, I still think the most interesting thing on the board right now is can Ole Miss be undefeated by the time of the LSU game in November?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see them undefeated at that point. I can see them losing to LSU and to Mississippi State and sort of feeling like State last year where it looked like they're probably the fourth team in the playoffs, and Ole Miss might seed better than that right now. And all of a sudden, it's woof! What?
Yeah.
Tax Slayer Bowl? Seriously? That's do we get a T-shirt? You know, it's very intriguing right now. I think a column I'll probably write early in the week, depending on what Parrish has written for Monday, is just about this path that Ole Miss has, the little echoes of 2003, and whether there is a reasonable, understandable path from here to Atlanta. For the SEC championship game for Ole Miss. I see that for them. I do not see that for Mississippi State this year. I just think the loss to LSU suggests some things. There's a way back from that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tough. It'll be tough at this point. Hard not to believe that State doesn't take at least one more loss. And right now, it'd be a hard path to Atlanta that way.
John Pitts, follow him on Twitter, at John L. Pitts, sports editor of the Journal. John, appreciate your time.
Gentlemen, anytime.
Okay, so thanks to the sports guys, Parrish Alford and John Pitts. And actually, we recorded that on Sunday. That's when those guys were available. So much thanks to them for taking time out to talk a little football with us. And now, Derek, we're going to talk about some food.
It's two things I love, football and food. Mm. So we've got our resident food expert, Jenna Parsons, joining us today. Jenna, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
You occasionally, I'll have a question answered for me in the newspaper. A lot of times it doesn't happen because we're all in 9 a.m. meetings together and we know what's going to be in the next day's paper and thus forth. But I have been wondering about this instance myself for a few weeks now and have not asked. So I picked up the paper and you answered it for me because I didn't know what was going on with the previous Skillet restaurant and David Leathers, and now it's taken a turn.
Right. Well, I didn't know what was going on either because when I interviewed David in April, they were supposed to start renovating the building in May, and he was to be open by October or November. But the problem at that point was waiting on the structural engineers to give them the okay. And apparently, when they got to the bottom of it, it was going to be so much work to try to shore up the building that they just decided to tear it down. And, you know, Charlie and I, my husband and I, were talking about it this weekend. That apartment building has never really had a good reputation, so it's not like it was a historic building that we needed to save.
Yeah.
It's probably best that it came on down.
I think it was a good idea to bring it on down. So now David is moving forward with a new concept for the restaurant called Forklift.
Forklift. Actually, that was the original name that he wanted for the restaurant and got talked into the Skillet because he was going to be using all cast iron. But he told me when we spoke on Friday, he said, you know, if you Google the Skillet, you come up with 100 different recipes. He said there's one in Pontotoc County called the Skillet. But if you Google forklift, all you get are
Actual forklifts,
mechanical, tractory things. Mm-hmm. So this will be a unique name.
So what's his timeline now moving forward?
Well, I went by there this weekend, and not only is the apartment gone, but all the debris has been cleared. It's really nice, just open dirt work. And then they'll move forward on more dirt work, and I think they want to start construction in November. I got an email this weekend from Rudd Robison at Pryor and Morrow saying that he's the lead architect on the building and that he wants to have me come in and look at the plans and the designs. He's really excited about what it's going to look like. Shelby Craig, I think, was an intern there and helped with the design, but they look like they're moving full speed ahead at this point.
We should mention this is the former apartment complex on the corner of Clayton and West Jackson.
Right.
Near Gloucester Street, excuse me. Interesting concept. I love the name. In addition to that, I'm friends with David on Facebook and noticed that he said he was hoping to keep the sign to the complex to put it up somewhere in the restaurant, and someone came along and stole it during the middle of the destruction.
Well, I didn't realize that because I actually thought if I had if I had a little bit bigger car, I thought about putting it in the backyard for just an interesting architectural element, but apparently someone beat me to that.
Well, somebody suggested that it was somebody just trying to get the wrought iron and get money and everything,
oh, sure.
And they said no, all the other wrought iron were still there. It was just the letters
right,
and the addition
right.
to the
Well,
sign,
maybe someone has fond memories of it.
Maybe so. All right, Jenna Parsons, thank you for joining us today.
Sure.
All right, from food to cops.
Cops.
The show. Used to watch that a lot after school. I don't know why I shouldn't.
That show has like been on for like 30 years, it seems like.
And it's still think it would win it, but when I ever see the longest running in TV, it's always SNL or The Simpsons or something. I never see Cops make any list.
That's weird.
It's the original reality show.
It is, really.
It predates The Real World, I'm sure.
That and the Emergency 911 show, remember that with William Shatner?
With William Shatner?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was
And
way
Unsolved
back.
Mysteries.
Love that show.
With Robert Pack.
The theme music still creeps me out.
Apparently they
I like it.
Apparently they have brought back Unsolved Mysteries.
What?
Yeah.
Well, it's not the same without Robert
Stack.
Well,
he's not on
voice.
There anymore. But,
oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
That would be why.
But that would be a great Unsolved Mystery if he was the host.
It would.
Let's talk about your relationship with the police, though, Brad.
I have a good relationship with the police. They haven't put me in jail
Let's
yet.
Let's talk about your mugshot.
My mugshot? I don't have a mugshot.
Oh, well, that's good. Let's talk about other people's mugshots then.
We could, or things they did.
Let's talk about that. I'm sure you've got a winner of a mugshot, though, for us as well.
Yeah, we had some good mugshots last week. We had the one with the lady who was wearing a shirt that the only part you could see, maybe it said something else, but it just said obedient, which apparently not, because you're in jail.
Mm.
So not obedient to the law of the land.
That's true.
Otherwise, some stuff from last week, some highlights from the police reports, which you can read at tipsheet.djournal.com. Well, we've got a few things today, Derek. We've got sexting. We've got defecation, just to name a couple. So I guess
are those related or are they
no,
separate?
Okay. Just jump right into it. A Tupelo woman said she got a text message from a man asking for sex, and he included a nude picture of himself. Isn't that sweet?
Is this James from last week? Nah, is James back again?
I don't think so, because I think he sent a nudie to a man. Uh-huh. I mean, of course, who's to
he
say?
He could just be going down the phone book.
Could be. Just whatever, and, yeah. You know, maybe it's just who he is. That's fine. But she blocked the number. Mm-hmm. Smart.
That's good.
And alerted the sheriff's office. I'm wondering what his success rate is on something like this. Zero?
He's batting 84, actually.
I don't get it.
Percent.
Okay. I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure.
That's out of 500, though. That's
I'm sure he's
good.
Below the Mendoza line. Okay, Guntown. Hey, Guntown. We got a couple from Guntown here. Guntown's always good for police reports.
There's always a good laugh coming out of that area.
Yeah, there is. A Guntown man said a female contacted him on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They exchanged numbers and been texting back and forth. She now wants him to send her an iPhone 6 so they can talk.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Which, I mean, they're already texting. I think she has a phone. Here's the kicker. He thinks this might be some sort of a scam.
You know, you can never be too sure. Go ahead and send the phone. Just be safe.
A random,
and, you know, err on the side of caution.
I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, it's a random, probably beautiful woman contacting you out of the blue on Facebook.
It's probably James. It's probably James. Let's be honest.
Probably not really.
It's probably not a beautiful woman. It's James.
Yeah. Anyway,
they've got his number now. He's got to get a new number, so he asked for an iPhone 6. I'm following this. I don't know why you aren't.
Why couldn't it be a 5?
This is hard hitting journalism that you are not catching up on.
Would she or James be okay with the 5?
I mean, they'd be okay with it, but then the 6 is out.
Yeah, but if you get the update, I think the 5 can get the
6S is here. She probably wants a 6S.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you really love this person.
James is not going to be happy until he gets the latest and the greatest.
How is he going to text
new pics?
I mean,
he can film in 4K on a 6S.
Exactly. So he wants to send out high-quality pictures of himself, yes. Obviously. So, I mean, come on.
James, turn yourself in.
Guntown again. A woman said she's been living with a man in Guntown at his home for about a month. No names. A former male roommate came by to pick up his belongings and hooked his truck up to a boat and trailer. She tried to stop the man, but he said that her boyfriend owed him money and he was taking the boat until he was paid back. This is how things work in Guntown.
Was it the other man's boat?
The guy she was living with, it was his boat.
I'm just going to take this until your roommate pays me back.
That's okay.
Come on, James.
I don't think this is James.
This is the loose thread. This may not be James.
This may not be James. Okay, last one.
I'm sure they know each other, though.
This one could be James. Who knows? It's erratic behavior. Lee County Library employees reported to work, and they saw a white male on the sidewalk with his pants down, defecating. When seen, the man pulled
in the library?
No, right out front, I guess.
Come on, James.
Because they wouldn't open yet. The man pulled up his pants and walked away at a fast pace. Didn't even take time to clean himself, I guess. He just took off.
Do you think he had toilet paper there with him?
I'm guessing if you're pooping in front of the library, you probably don't. So.
Ah, the Lee County Library.
Good folks work there. I hate they had to see that.
That's awful. That's not
That's like, you know, I was in New Orleans once and was walking past a huge cathedral and saw human feces.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, this is New Orleans. I expect that. You don't expect that at the Tupelo Lee County Library. So,
well, maybe he was reading.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. There is a theory out there, has been for years, that going to a bookstore or library can suddenly give you the urge to go to the bathroom.
We're going to move on down the list now.
It's an actual theory out there. So maybe that was it. He was just walking by the library. He's like...
Of all the conspiracy theories I've heard, that's the lamest.
Something about the smell of books or the...
That's terrible.
Ink,
no.
The pages.
I don't
remind
subscribe
you of reading in the bathroom
your,
when
no.
you read. I don't know.
No. Do you read in the... We're not going this route. Never mind.
So...
Give me a mugshot.
Mugshot.
Mm-hmm. You got a good one? There was a guy the other day that his t-shirt. The t-shirts are the best ones.
Yeah, we had a couple with the t-shirts. The other one.
There was a guy.
There was a guy that said, school of hard hits. Normally, it's the school of hard knocks. So I don't know if this was some like team specific thing, but he was booked on like simple assault because you know. School of hard hits. I guess that's part of the curriculum. You got to go.
Why? You don't have to wear a punny shirt to go to jail.
I don't know.
Anything else of great value?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Not but, the Walmart brand, but
if you want to know more and read more, go to tipsheet.djournal.com. How about that? Mm-hmm. And also, I need to tell y'all about Thrive Marketing. It's a full service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. So if you're a local business, hit them up.
We're going to ask James not to have anything to do with that, though.
Yes, James, do not call.
Handle all their text messaging.
Yeah, it's thrive.ms.
And they handle your tip sheet blog.
Yeah, they do.
In fact, so it's good.
Good-looking blog.
Good place to use. We appreciate you joining us on this Monday, this rainy Monday. It's good to have a little rain.
I guess. I hate rain.
Well, it keeps people off the Lee County Library lawn. it is rainy, though, and we're glad to bring you all the news that's fit to talk about today.
And some that isn't.
SEC and a lot that wasn't. My apologies to James. And we're going to be back again on Wednesday with an all-new episode. Until then, check us out, as always, memo.djournal.com.
And on Twitter, @DJournalMemo. And the Daily Journal Twitter is @DJournalNow.
And, of course, the Daily Journal's website, djournal.com.
Yes, hope you're all writing this down.
A long list. Get with it. Brad's on the Twitter, Lockie.
@BradLock.
Lockie. Our producer, @ChrisKiefer. @ChrisKiefer. Spell it phonetically. And I'm @W. Derek Russell. Until then, we will see you later this week.
Thanks.